If you find value in our show and want to help us produce more awesomeness, there are several ways to do so. Go to anchor.fm/PVOTN and help us monetarily and send us a message. We would love to hear from you. Or you can find us at Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN Fandemic. That's capital PVOTN, lowercase FANDEMIC, where levels of awesomeness awaits and a chance to be part of the show. If you can't help monetarily, no biggie. Share the awesomeness on your socials and don't forget to leave a review. All right, let's get on with the show.
Get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PVOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is
Brian S. Dennis, with the S stands for Carium.
All right. We will be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. I know it's poetry, isn't it? We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we're going to have a great time doing it. All right. So this is how the show is going to go. First, we will cover our topic of the week. We will discuss, theorize, and give our 2 cents worth along with a penny for our thoughts. Then we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. One of us is going to do a tat. The other one is going to do a pitch. But first, Brian, how can you start with 5, take 2 away, and get 4?
How can you start with 5, take 2 away, and get 4?
Yes.
I feel this is going to be one that your class will get in about 2 seconds. I'm going to bend the knee, which makes you the queen of dragons, sir. I'm going to bend the knee. And please tell me how you start with 5, take away 2, and get 4.
Well, first, you have to spell out the word 5. F-I-V-E. Take away 2 is the F in the E, and you are left with the Roman numeral 4.
Love it.
So, Brian, while we're on this, I've been doing a riddle for my class every week.
Sure.
And then I've been putting it on TikTok and saying, hey, look, I'm going to say the riddle. I'm going to give Brian a chance to answer the riddle really quick. And then we're going to give the answer. Brian, I'd love to actually give this to you right now.
All right.
Okay. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I may or may not exist, but magical I am for sure, full of this. My sparkle is greatest in the twilight. I value friendship and still know how to fight. Close your eyes and see with clarity. To see me is a once in a lifetime rarity. Today, if you see me, I'm something of one of a kind. Even though I'm mostly seen once upon a time. I had to channel my Brian. Every week I've been channeling my Brian.
That's really good. I went like 3 places there. Every time you did a line, I thought I knew it. Every stanza gave me another clue. All right. Give it to me one more time. And I'm going to make my guess.
I may or may not exist, but magical I am for sure, full of this. My sparkle is greatest in the twilight. I value friendship and still know how to fight. Close your eyes and see with clarity. To see me is a once in a lifetime rarity. Today, if you see me, I'm something of one of a kind, even though I'm mostly seen once upon a time.
All right. I have a couple of questions. I'm going to make my guess.
All right. Go for it.
Is this a character?
No. I mean, so, actually, it could be, but it's not meant to be a character alone.
It's not meant to be a specific character.
I'll tell you, it's a what am I, not who am I.
Okay, I'm gonna go pixie dust.
It's a unicorn.
I almost went unicorn. Darn it! Okay. Voldemort is hungry. That's how much of a unicorn that was. I almost went My Little Pony, but I go as a. I felt that would make me a brony, and that's. I'm okay with most nerd identities. Brony's a little far for me. So,
I mean, I did put Twilight Sparkle and
you did Rarity. I totally saw Tink in my head. I totally saw Tinkerbell. That's why I asked about the character. Then I did think about unicorn just for a quick second. And I go, but I thought, honestly, and I'll let you get to it, but honestly thought if it's a unicorn, he might think about a specific unicorn to get my head into My Little Ponies. And yeah. I don't know the ponies well enough to hazard a guess. So I go, let's see if it's Tink. And when it wasn't Tinkerbell, I just go, I got nothing. By the way, I love watching anything to do with Peter Pan to know this. I am rooting for that Wendy Tinkerbell death fight because you know it's coming. You know. What?
That'd be awesome. I would love to. I'm game. I'm game for that. We need a pre-venge Peter Pan.
That may have to be one of our coming out ones. We got some things in the hopper, but definitely got to pre-venge Peter Pan. For another reason than this, very similar. Peter Pan is several years old when he falls in love with a small child. There's problematic themes with this everywhere. If y'all thought Anakin and Padme was a little weird, or Jacob and Renesmee, yes, I know Twilight enough to know the girl's name is Renesmee. Don't judge me. I said what I said.
Time today, people.
Yes, not to mention this, Buffy and Angel. Totally was statutory. Okay, yeah. So with all those things said, Wendy and Peter, though, that might stretch. Okay, it was a Victorian story. So social norms were a little different. Brian can read now without punishment. But yes, all right. Yes, we will revenge Peter Pan, Wendy, the Lost Boys, Tinkerbell, and the most misunderstood character in probably all of literature, Captain Hook.
Yep.
Yes.
Brian, what are we talking about today? What is our main topic and what is kind of our theme for these few episodes that we're doing?
Well, what we're doing is revenging things, especially from the 80s. Bradley and I are both kids of the mid-80s and early 90s and the things back in the day when Saturday morning cartoons actually meant something. So before we talk about today's specific thing, follow me, if you will, on a journey. Did back when Saturday, when one of Brad, I don't know about you, but one of the best things that would come out every year was TV Guide would put out a listing of the upcoming shows, and you would get to the Saturday morning cartoon one, and it was a thing in the fall. That was how you mitigate. I gotta go back to school. But the new Saturday morning cartoons are coming out, and they all happen about within a week of each other. Okay, so we did the Smurfs last week, and also when you also beat Feet Home to get home from school when you want to beat 420. All right, good luck to Snoop and Willie. We know you're out there, but you want to get home before 4:20 because of the after-school, mostly Filmation show that were in syndication that we'll talk about a bit. So we're going to talk about one of those shows today. And the show that was actually really ahead of its time that I think in a world where oftentimes you had a lot of cultural appropriation, while the voice actors were not Indigenous peoples, they actually told a respectful story of Indigenous people, and that we're going to talk about. Brave Star with two R's.
Yes. So the way this is going to go, I'm going to go ahead and give a fun fact about Brave Star. And believe I had actually searched. There was I had to search for this.
If you get too deep in the internet, you don't find a way out of the interwebs. Be careful.
Right, right.
That's how you get on the list. Way get on also, the list. Yeah. That way.
Or that's also how you don't get to watch Picard. Well, if you're watching this to get that joke, you have to listen to this week's War Report.
Yes.
So I'm going to give a fun fact that Brian's going to kind of give a little rundown of what BraveStar is and was.
Absolutely.
We're going to talk a little bit of where we think it's going to go. And then I actually did a fan casting for several of the characters that I'd like to run by you, Brian.
Perfect.
So here is my fun fact. Pat Fraley, who voiced BraveStar, also voiced. Oh, actually, so it was Ace, Airtight, Wild Weasel, Barbecue in G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe. Yes.
Also, he voiced Eddie from Turbo Teen. He was Hillbilly Jim in Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Yes. Yes.
He was Max Ray in Centurions.
Really? Okay.
Oh, it gets better. He was young Scrooge McDuck in DuckTales.
Woo! Okay.
Also, he was Tuffy Smurf. Pulled back from last week. Oh, and the last two are going to blow your mind, sir.
All right.
He is also a character that has actually been talked on this podcast several times.
Okay.
He was Batmite from Batman, the animated series.
No.
Yes.
See, that would be, you know, we don't wish anyone ill will, and always we give RIP to those that have left us. But I mean, if I had that resume on my tombstone, it would be was the voice of Batmite. That is awesome. There's okay, but you said there was one
last
more.
My last one. Yes. That one. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
He was the voice of Krang in TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Brad, I don't know if we ever discussed this, but I feel this is always something, you know, since we are in a long-term relationship at this point, my tag team partner.
Yeah.
Of the Ninja Turtles, who is your favorite?
Michelangelo, all day long.
Oh, close, but he's number two. The greatest Ninja Turtle of all time is the one. There is a right answer. Is Donatello, actually.
Oh, boy. We're definitely going to have a pandemic fight.
Yes, yes.
We're going to split up.
The turtles.
I got Raphael and Michelangelo. You get Donatello and Leonardo.
Wants Leonardo, but I'll take Leonardo. No one likes Leonardo.
It's like the commercial where you have to pick Barkley. Even he's got the Sharpies things. He's
but they made him the leader because he's so lame. Like, they gave him the best weapons. They made him the leader, and no one still likes him. That tells you the character is flawed.
Did you ever read Ronin?
No.
Next time I see you, because we got to do a fancy like sometime, I'll have to write it down and I'll bring it to you. Ronin, I only have issue one. I'm waiting for the trade to come out.
Okay.
It is fantastic. It is so good.
All right.
Pretty much what it is, it takes place years after. So all three of the Ninja Turtles are dead. Shredder is dead. And then it's kind of what's going on. But there's one turtle left and he carries one sword, a bow staff, one Psy, and one nunchuck.
Okay.
So the whole thing is you don't know which turtle it is until the end of the issue. And do you know which turtle it is?
Don't tell me it's Leonardo.
Michelangelo.
Okay.
Yep, the one that never took anything serious.
Yep.
Is the one that is now on a mission of revenge. And
Schrodinger's turtle. Love
so
it.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, I have read a fair number of the Turtle comics. I love the show. Okay. I love the original cartoon show.
Yeah.
If you read the books are very different. The books are much more serious. I'm not going to lie. I asked my mom, could I be Shredder? One year for Halloween, and at which point she thought I meant a piece of kitchen equipment.
Yeah.
And it went downhill.
Not far off.
And it went downhill from there. So needless to say, I was not allowed to be Shredder. Really quickly, now we will get to our actual subject of it. Everyone that's interested in this knows my love of Batman. And I remember one year I cry. I mean, literally, I managed to get the big kid, we're both parents, the big kid, huge drops of water, tears to be Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the 80s, you know, you didn't have the outlet stores and Amazon and things that we can get put on anything, anytime. So you had to go with what the retail stores had. Well, being a Husky child, unfortunately, they didn't have Batman costume. They had Batman costume. They did not have Batman costume my mother was willing to pay for. So instead of me being Batman, Bradley, I was Bat-Cat. Whatever response you can make will... There's a reason I'm glad we both were children pre-cell phones, because the horror of this costume was not captured digitally. The Bat-Cat costume, we will revisit this when we get to our Halloween episodes, but the Bat-Cat costume was basically a bunch of... Now, remember, she paid money for this. This was not a homemade costume. My mother, RIP, paid money for me to wear basically an amalgamation of three hefty bags that were painted orange with horrible, like, cat-taily stripes and a mask of that was that of, like, a kind of a tiger-striped cat with bad ears that was so snug that when I put it on, it felt like I got two black eyes and it sucked in itself to my face, and it was so tight around the nose, I couldn't breathe through my nose, so I had to breathe through my mouth. So after about second hour of school, I'm in fourth or fifth grade at this point, literally I was doing my best Darth Vader impression, because all I could do is go and yes, so that was, and there's so much more to the story, but ladies and gentlemen, this is not part of your hour of awesomeness, so we will digress and take you from Bat-Cat to Brave Star.
Oh, I wrote that down. We will be revisiting this, kind sir.
All right. Okay.
Oh, Philip, Brave Star. What's the game?
Okay, so here's the who's in the West of the Brave Star. So first off, Brave Star was a cartoon put out by Filmation Studios. And if you don't know what Filmation Studios is, it obviously means you are way younger than Bradley and myself. Filmation was really the studio that came up with some of the most awesome series that we had in the 80s. So Filmation gave us He-Man and the Master of the Universe. It gave us She-Ra and the Princess of Power. And it gave us not Ghostbusters. It gave us the real
Ghostbusters.
Speaking of something that needs to be prevenged, because in the 80s, there were two Ghostbusters. There was the real Ghostbusters, which it called itself because it was directly linked to the Ghostbusters movies with the same characters. And then there was a second series that was this weird psychedelic thing that called itself the Ghostbusters, similar to...
The next Ghostbusters?
No, this actually, I think, was called Ghostbusters. I'll double check that. But really what it was, that for every... So this is the great part of the 80s. So, you know, trademark infringement is a really loose concept. So it was like, let's take something with a little bit on its ear. So for every real Ghostbusters, you had the Ghostbusters or the next Ghostbusters. And for the Transformers, you had the GoBots. All right. So luckily never imitated was Brave Star. So here's the who's and what's of Brave Star. So Brave Star takes place in the 23rd century, so a couple hundred years from now, and it took place on a planet that was called New Texas. That's right, the entire planet is called New Texas. The best part about New Texas, there are no walls. So on New Texas, it was a, again, taking this from the 80s, I think the show came out, and I did a little research, I think it came out in 84. But what really was great about Brave Star is that, again, for the show in the 80s, it really was culturally diverse. It talked about having people of color. It actually talked about drug addiction. They even had, again, this was an afternoon, Monday through Friday afternoon show that kids watched. They actually had a kid, actually, I don't know if you remember this, Brad, in a very special episode of Brave Star. They had a kid actually take a drug and die. He overdosed. So it wasn't like the typical thing where, oh, yeah, everything works out. So The show is called Bravestar because the star is Marshall Bravestar. And Marshall Bravestar is of Native American descent. He's an indigenous person. Not really, because I can't remember if he's actually from New Texas or not. Yeah, but he's Native American. And they bring a lot of mysticism. So he's given powers by the shaman. And the powers that he's given by the shaman is that he can have the powers of certain animals. So this is actually in the intro. He can have the eyes of the hawk, the ears of a wolf, the strength of a bear, and the speed of a puma. I remember being a little kid going, what the hell is a puma? And I had to pull out my handy-dandy Encyclopedia Britannica to figure out what a puma was. And I was a really fast cat. All right, cool.
Those are the shoes that I got.
This is before the... Dude, I rock BK, British Knights. Fight me. Okay.
I think they're the same shoe.
They probably are. All I know is I tried to get Nikes one time, and again, my mother... Okay, and you can imagine when I asked for Batman, I get Batcat. When I asked for Nikes, I got Mikeys. Okay, right? So we just learned to leave things alone. Like, you know what? I'll take the BKs. I'm good with that. Yep. Good with that. Okay, so back to New Tech, Texas, and the Woos and What's the Brave Star. So, like any great cartoon, it had a pretty full cast on the cover, everybody. But you had Sheriff Brave Star. Part of his team was he had 3030. 3030 was this humanoid horse thing that was stand up and pulled out his big gun called Luann. He had another deputy. That was actually one of what they called the Prairie People.
Yep.
Deputy Fuzz, if I remember correctly. And then you had the Shaman. All right. So the other side, you had the villains, right? So every good guy, you got a bad guy. So the villains were called the Carrion Gang. So Carrion after, you know, the cave flesh. Again, great imagery for a kid's show. So with the Carrion Gang, it was led by Tex Hex, which in my research, actually where the show actually started from, was Tex Hex was actually going to be used for another show. And the creators of Bravestar really liked Tex Hex so much. Instead of putting him in Ghostbusters. Exactly. So they put him in Ghostbusters. They actually made him the central villain of the Bravestar show. So you've also got you've got Outlaw Scuzz, who's Deputy Fuzz's cousin. And then the leader of the Carrion Gang, the ultimate big bad, is Stampede, which is like a ghostly dinosaur. Again, this is the 80s. It is what it is. But the best part of Bravestar was, again, it gave us what all those great shows in the 80s gave us. Kind of this is the time of the more you know, the more you grow. But there was always some great moral lesson or ethical lesson to be learned. It was that way in He-Man. It was that way in She-Ra. That way in Thundercats. That way in G.I. Joe. I never will forget Flint will help get people out of a burning house. Won't call the fire department. He'll show you how to get out of your house, though. Because, yeah, that's what you do. By the way, yeah, what were Flint, Lady J? Never mind. That's for another show. okay, Brad, real quick. Scarlet or Lady J? The animated version, Circle. We all thought it because we were kids. Who is your girlfriend? We'll put it nice because we may be kids listening.
Man, I was a big G.I. Joe fan, so I gotta go Scarlet.
Really? Okay, I'm going Lady J. Scarlet had a bunch of brothers. I was afraid they beat me up. So
I mean, that's a solid point.
Here's the real question, then we'll get back to Bravestar. Who would you be? Storm Shadow or Snake Eyes?
Storm Shadow.
My man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Did you watch the movie Snake Eyes?
No,
it is good.
It was not going to be. It was. I really thought it was not going to be good.
Yeah, I mean, for what it is, it was. It came out. It came out the wrong time. It definitely was a hit from COVID. Mm-hmm. But go definitely check it out. I really enjoyed it. I watched it probably two or three times.
Okay.
It's not the greatest. It's not going to win any Oscars or anything like. But it is enjoyable. Martial arts
movie. Is Ray Park also Snake Eyes in this, hopefully? So
not it is. Oh my gosh, and now I can't, the guy slips my mind. It'll come back to me, but
sure.
It's a good actor. Okay. It's an up and coming good actor.
Okay, good.
And
good.
plays him in a very good way.
Good. I personally really liked G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, the sequel, As much as I enjoyed The Rock, and I really liked The Rock in most things he's in, I thought The Rock did a good job in the movie. I think I'll never, and again, you've not seen it, spoiler alert coming. I never thought I uttered these words, we needed more Channing Tatum.
I mean, those words have been said before by many women during...
By many men. I don't, there's nothing wrong with saying that we need more Channing Tatum. I just never thought I would say I need more Channing Tatum in my life. Other, when he's not hanging out with Jonah Hill. Okay, so, like...
just to change that subject for you, it's Henry Golding. Henry Golding is...
Okay. Thank you.
I had to save you from your obsession.
Thank you, because I'm going down so many different paths here. I'm going to try to the body roll after we get done recording. You know, so, all right. So, by the way, if hanging out with Channing Tatum will let me hang with Ice Cube, though, I'm all about it. I'm absolutely all about it. All right. So, that's a little bit of the background of Brave Star. Again, it takes place in the future, takes place on New Texas. Great typical 80s show. We're supposed to learn a lesson, teach about ourselves. And generally, again, while the good guy usually wins, the good guy does not always win. There are oftentimes consequences, which made it really ahead of its time when it comes to cartoons, animation that were designed for kids. So with that, now we are going to prevenge Brave Star.
Yes, Brian. Is there a place for Brave Star today?
Absolutely.
I agree. After doing the research and looking into a lot of stuff about Brave Star, man, I remember from when I was a kid, and I remember having a bunch of the toys because they were cheaper than G.I. Joe's.
Sure.
And twice as big.
Did you know that the original G.I. Joe was a Stretch Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just find that really fascinating.
And there is not a Stretch Armstrong G.I. Joe.
Correct.
Which does not make sense at all.
It does not compute.
But Hasbro, basically, if you're listening, we know you are.
Right. So are you saying that, again, going back to the war report, are you saying that when it came to Stretch Armstrong and G.I. Joe, resistance was futile? All right. Okay. You got to catch up on Picard. Okay. I'm so loving the Borg Queen. All right. So... Okay, absolutely has a place, and I'm sure there's more to this. It absolutely has a place in today's world. I think you could actually even take Brave Star and put it on Earth now instead of New Texas. I think you do some shifts now, but I think actually even more now than in the 80s, I think Brave Star could really, really be powerful.
Yeah, it's a franchise that is just waiting to be done. And actually, Brian, I fan casted this, and I wouldn't mind if I let me hear your thoughts on my fan cast. But yeah, I agree with you. If I was to cast a Brave Star movie or animated or anything, it would be on Earth in the future, and it would be in just New Texas, which would be in old Texas, you know.
Sure.
Now, my Marshall Brave Star would be. I'm going to gender swap Matt Marshall Brave Star to be female.
Okay.
And to be played by Kelsey Asbell, who is Monica Dutton on Yellowstone.
Okay.
I just love her as an actress, and I think she can kick a lot of butt.
She's a great actress. She's beautiful. I mean, the whole shebang. Yes.
Now, 30-30, you would need somebody that's used to having... maybe, you know, guns, maybe chainsaws, something. I think the only person that could pull off 30-30 is the chin itself.
Yes. Yes. All the yes. All the yes. Bruce Campbell is the prevenge spirit animal. He definitely is.
Then I got to thinking about Deputy Fuzz. And the second I looked at Deputy Fuzz, when I was doing this, there's one person that popped in my head. One of the stepbrothers, John C. Riley.
He's got the hair. He's got the hair.
Now, if I'm gender swapping Brave Star, I got the gender swap judge, right?
Okay,
J.T. McBride. Okay. Just kind of the love interest type thing, right?
Yep.
So, but I wanted to stick with the red hair. So I went to KP Apa, who is in Riverdale. He's also just got cast as one of the Wonder Twins. So gotcha. Isabel May is a Wonder Twin as well.
Nice.
I know. I am so excited about these castings. I can't. Yes, I'm super set. And he's just a really good actor that I think has a bright future, but still young enough that I think we can get him on here. Now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so far, I'm digging all your choices.
Awesome. Now, Shaman, you definitely need somebody of Indian background.
Yes.
And I was already deep into IMDb, and I was still in Yellowstone. So I went for my Shaman is Gil Birmingham. Gil Birmingham is the chief, the main. I was going between him and his number one. And I can't, sure. I can't think of, but then I'm like, Gil is just, he's just a really good actor. So I won't end up going to him.
Yep. Okay.
So those are my good guys. I only did a couple of the bad guys. I got Tex-Hex and I did Stampede.
All right.
So Stampede, have you seen the movie or the show Snowpiercer?
Yes.
David Diggs.
Yes.
Would be my Stampede.
Yes. And he is in the room where it happens.
Yeah.
So, yes. As someone that loves Hamilton so much, and Blackish, and Snowpiercer, yes, David Diggs would make a great, great choice there.
And then my final is Tex-Hex. I think, you know, any good Western is, you have to have this one person. The mustache itself, Sam Elliott.
Sam Elliott, yes.
Yes. That would be my fan cast of Brave Star.
I'm a little surprised with this. We didn't get not that he'd ever do it. I'm surprised we didn't get an Eastwood somewhere in there.
You know what? Scott Eastwood or Clint. Yeah.
Yeah. I can see Scott again, maybe making Scott the love interest. That's the only thing I would do.
Oh, he could definitely do a judge. Yeah. He could be a judge.
Yeah. You know, especially if it was more like a frontier judge where you got to be a badass as well.
Reminiscent to his dad's earlier role.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, at some point he could go, you know, Tex-Mex, cough, what a joke. Yeah. I just feel like that would be great. Yes. And who is the win for? By the way, that's what I did this morning was I rewatched like the first episode of Peacemaker, and it's just, it holds up so good. So good.
Yeah.
All right. No, I like the idea of that. The other thing I would do, again, I think to be respect for this, and unfortunately, for those of you that don't know, one of my, Bradley and I both work jobs that are adjacent to education. So one of the things that I've been looking at from a diversity, equity, inclusion standpoint is the current situation of Native and Indigenous peoples. And I've had a couple speakers come to my classes that have talked about really, unfortunately, the very, very the significantly dwindling population. So if we did this in the future, even if we just jumped ahead 50 years, I think you could have Marshall Braystar be one of the last Indigenous peoples in New Texas. If we played, made it part of the variant verse, and when the earth shattered, you know, one of the last settlements that was left there, I think Marshall Braystar would be very bitter and would really want no one to assist her people other than her. So she is not only the Marshall, the law, but she really is that champion, that protector that people go to. So you could even see a great, again, if we did this in the variant verse, her running into the other variants, again, with her powers, and not really having any connection with them and going, this is New Texas, you come no further. I think I just can think of all the great ways you could do, like with the eyes of the eagle, where you can see things from an aerial view. I absolutely, totally would love that. And I think you could just have a lot of great social commentary using, again, Marshall Braystar, as well as just, again, a badass show. Part of me thinks there's a really cool scene, because I said earlier, it's Braystar with two R's. I would love it to, that'd be maybe, because if you made a show that was serious and heavy and action-packed, you wouldn't have a little bit of levity, and maybe it's an ongoing joke that Deputy Fuzz keeps, is the one that added the extra R to Brave Star, and so you see her in various places crossing out the second R. It's still visible, but it would just be, and that would even be in maybe the intro, Brave Star with the second R with like a scratch through it or something like that. So no, nice. I think you fan casted that perfectly, and I think there's a lot that could be done with it. Again, I wouldn't make it a huge future jump. I would still want things fairly grounded mm-hmm. in our world. So again, 50 years or so, again, put it in the very inverse as we put in all the great ideas that we're having. Yes, they're ours. And I really think Marshall Braystar would just be tremendous, especially for, and I think just one quick scene about, again, I was thinking kind of visually these things, is you'd have a scene where maybe the authority that is outside of the settlement or the reservation going, you know, who made you Marshall? And she goes, the people did. And she just keeps walking. I just think that would be like, you know, that is the ultimate authority. Or you did when you abandoned us. I mean, you could play that a couple of different ways.
But almost, I really almost like this. The Marshall from The Mandalorian type.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, and I don't know why I'm seeing, oh gosh, have you ever seen the AMC show Preacher?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm just seeing so much of this kind of with Preacher, that kind of Western throwback that mm-hmm. No one's really a good guy, no one's really a bad guy, well, everyone's a bad guy. Everyone's a certain levels of brokenness, and I just see that, probably I just really like Dominic as well, but I just really see a lot of the cool things there with that. So yes, I think we need to bring back Brave Star and do it your way, sir. So great idea with where Brave Star goes next.
Fantastic. That was so much fun, Brian. Let's go ahead and you want to do your riddle first before I throw out my pitch?
Yes, sir. All right. So as always, when we do our riddles, I'm going to read. I will read as many times as you would like, sir. You are allowed three questions and you are allowed three guesses. So with that being said, are you ready?
Give it to me.
All right, sir. Hijinks and shenanigans rule the day. This low-carb snack makes its way. Some people are keto or lactose-free. Add this to your diet, and it'll even get rid of fleas. Whether you have four legs or two, have short hair or shaggy, eating these treats will prevent you from getting flabby. Good for the munchies and doesn't create stomach gases. There's even a rumor it will help you find your glasses.
Ruh-ro?
I knew you get it. All right, sir.
Ruh-ro-ro-ro. Looking for you. Ruh-ro. Brian.
All right, what's your official guess?
Ruh-ro-ro-ro.
Wrong.
Oh.
You're close. So I'll reread it.
Okay.
Oh, you can ask any questions. You are super close.
Okay.
All right. I think you'll get it once you again ask any questions.
Okay.
Hijinks and shenanigans rule the day. This low carb snack makes its way. Some people are keto or are lactose free. Add this to your diet and it will even get rid of fleas. Whether you have four legs or two, have short hair or shaggy, eating these treats will prevent you from getting flabby. Good for the munchies and doesn't create stomach gases. There's even a rumor it will help you find your glasses. Ruby snacks. There we go. Ding, 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 ding. And of course, when we are recording the week after May, after April 20th, we have to bring in something that is very, very vaguely covered up what Scooby Snacks really are.
I concur.
Yes.
Good. I loved it, man. I love it.
So by the way, if any of you work jobs where they occasionally ask you to use a small cup to make sure you're in a good place to be working, never, ever, ever, ever eat a Scooby Snack.
Well, if you don't like that job very much.
Yeah, okay. Only eat Scooby Snacks with people you trust really, really. Make sure your home is a safe place. Lock the door. Put your keys in a drawer.
Yep.
And enjoy all the Scooby Snacks you want. All right, sure.
Remember, kids, Scooby-Doo is teaching you that real monsters are always behind the mask.
And by the way, for any kids that are listening to our show, the secret ingredient in Scooby Snacks is brown sugar. And we'll move forward.
Actually, did you know that our main audience is female?
Did not.
Yeah. So 46% of our listeners are female. And you know what? We love you.
We do appreciate you each and every day. So thank you. By the way, for all of our listeners, male, female, non-binary, wherever yep. you're at, thank you again for listening. I mean, Bradley and I, obviously, we know we don't get paid for this, which part of the reason why we do it, because we enjoy it. We love it. Hopefully, you find some level of enjoyment. Hopefully, it lets you just, again, put your work week, your whatever. We record these on a Sunday. That's why they usually come out at the very beginning of the week.
Yeah.
So hopefully, these brighten up your week, let you just kind of chill out, hang in the Nerdverse with us. Hope you enjoy our war reports, our riddles, and how we prevent things. And up next, we have our pitch.
So I have been doing a lot of comic book reading lately. So I have a DC Universe pitch. Okay.
All right.
We're going to go to DC. We're going to DC Comics. So the Red Lanterns.
Yes.
Block the yellow sun around the earth. So the yellow sun rays cannot get in. The first thing that they do when they come, when they invade the planet Earth, is kill Kal-El, Superman. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much, they put a ring around the entire Earth. They kill Superman. The entire world is in, you know, in chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Superman had three kids. He had two boys, twins, and a girl.
Martha.
Yes. Yes. And so what happened?
Thinking of what you're putting down. Yes, sir.
So the Red Lanterns, along with the Legion of Supervillains, or the League is, oh my gosh, is it League or Legion? I didn't
realize it's Legion.
Legion of Supervillains. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So they're all working together, and they take one of the three kids. Martha. And yeah, so that it doesn't matter which one.
I thought it was going to be Martha. That's where I can go.
Yep.
How do you know that name? Yep.
Yep. And then one kid dies, or so you think. The other kid is taken by Batman, who now goes into hiding and cannot show his face as Batman out in the world, and knows his only hope for saving the Earth is by training this Kryptonian to be a Robin.
Or a Flamebird.
Or a Flamebird.
Because Nightwing's taken. Okay.
Yep. So there's a war going on between pretty much all the bad guys and all the good guys, right?
Sure.
And in a jar in the Batcave is a cut-off hand. Do you know whose hand would be in this jar?
As Lexus?
Nope. Hal Jordan.
The ring.
So Batman is training the son of Superman to become strong enough to become a Green Lantern. So he'll be trained by Batman.
And we're
all the powers of the Kryptonians.
And we're in Sector 2814. I will never forget that sector again, thanks to you. Yes.
That was a good riddle.
Probably the best riddle we've ever done on the show. That was great.
Yeah. I'm going to look that riddle back up, and I'm going to do that for my class this next week. But anyway, then once he becomes has enough willpower, they're going to go fight the Lanterns to try to get to break free, to bring back the sun, free the Earth. And that is my quick DC reboot.
Hmm. Well, first off, I like the idea of a Superman dying. That just makes me happy.
I know, right?
All the joy, all the feels, right? All the feels.
Is that what we hate Superman?
Superman, though, I think, honestly, I don't hate Superman. I think Superman, though, is much better as that he's too big to be in the everyday world. And it would be very similar to how they did it with the Guardians of the Globe, is that, you know, with I think Marvelous Man, where, you know, he's ancillary, he's on this base island in space, and we only bring him in when we really, really need him.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, you got the Red Lanterns blocking out the sun. Superman unfortunately dies. He's got his three kids, one of which has got to be named Martha. You could blow in the names from Superman and Lois for the boys. And then again, training Superman's child to be a Green Lantern. And I think what would be great about this would be the training aspect would be fine. And obviously the physicality of it, the child is half Kryptonian. So even in a world where there's not a yellow sun, you would assume the child's got some type of fortified body. But anyway, with that being said, I think it would be great if when drawing this out, when Batman feels the child is ready to take on the mantle of super person, or we've not decided which child it'll be, or to become a Green Lantern, that the ring won't work. That the ring does not work because of the ghosts of the father. So their father being the last son of Krypton, they can even do, again, if you're doing this in a comic, it's super easy. You basically have the ghost of Kal-El, that the child is their guilt, is their anxiety, it's their fears, all their doubts. Remember, the antithesis of will is fear, and you can say that fear, a kiss and cousin of fear, is going to be doubt. So the child is overwhelmingly, especially if the child doesn't feel that they are, it could be the youngest, so they feel like both of their older siblings should be there. Superman was killed. Lois has been taken captive. The brothers are missing, or the other two siblings are missing. So, and I do like it being the youngest, who, let's say, is the girl. Her name again is
Martha. And you know what? Martha is the one that goes to the Batman takes, because Martha was also Batman's mom's name too.
Right, because how do you know that name? And again, if anyone is new to our podcast, there's certain things we all constantly make fun of. Batman versus Dawn of Justice, Batman versus Superman, which again, Batman won. This
is the way.
Yeah, the ultimate moment where Batman is going to basically finish off the last son of Krypton, and you hear Kal-El, Superman, basically going save Martha. And so what it draws to is that Superman's adopted mom is Martha Kent, but Batman's mom is Martha Wayne / Arkham. He goes, "Wow, how do you know that name with all the rain falling down and the mecha bat suit and all this other stuff?" And I just go, "Wait, that's all it took? A name?" Like, it's not even the same person, you know. Yeah, it's just like, that's Affleck had to write that part in. You just know, okay,
stop that from happening, right?
Yeah,
was a big enough nerd, like, you execs really just figured out that our mom's name are the same?
And that's been it. That's been the whole deal. Like, so you tell if her name would have been like Jennifer is over. You know, right. So that explains why Wonder Woman goes to her mom like, "So Hippolyta, you really locked in on that?"
Yeah.
Because, you know, it might help when your name was like what's Darkseid's mom's name? Like, maybe that'll help that too. All right, anyway.
It's Martha.
Yes. Okay. All right. Back to the point of this. Absolutely, it will be Martha. It will be Martha Kent, who becomes, again, who tries to become the new Green Lantern. Again, the ghost of the father, the uncertainty, all those sorts of things. I think that would be just a great way of taking that character. And I think at some point, I think you see Batman sacrificing himself to give Martha something, because the thing that, and we've talked about this in some of the other recordings we've done, Batman is a great study in that, on one hand, he is the most solitary, isolated member of the Justice League and those upper tier DC heroes, but he also has, literally, it's called the Bat Family, is that he definitely collects broken toys. So I can see Batman realizing the only way for Martha to stand on her own and really become the Green Lantern that she needs to be to save the world, see Batman again. This would be an Elseworld comic. This wouldn't be canon. Is that Batman would sacrifice himself. So, you know, at that moment, she realized that she's all she has. But more importantly, she's, and I can see even Bats, Bruce, saying this, is that, you know, you're all you've ever had and you're all you'll ever need before, you know, he dies. And you see this great, I can see the panel where she falls to her knees and she's crying. You see her fist clench, and soon you see the ring begin to work, and you see all of a sudden a Green Lantern meshed into a Supergirl Superman costume with a bright, which is great from what was it? I think it was Flashpoint, where the Flashpoint movie where they do the Kryptonian green tattoo on Superman's chest to depower him. You see the green S, which is not an S, on her outfit to really signify her being a Lantern. I think that would just be really, really cool. So I love it. I absolutely love it. One of these days, we got to prevent, again, of the things that we probably should have done this month with, well, last month for, because it was St. Patrick's Day. But who are our favorite green themed characters between the MCU and the DCU? So you've got
Green Arrow.
Yeah, you got Green Arrow, you got Green Lantern, you've got Jade, Riddler. you got Green Goblin, and yep. the guy, got a couple people with horrible anger management issues. You've got the entire gamma group there. You've got Hulk, right? She-Hulk, Peter, yep. Abomination, Doc Samson, all those sorts of things. So yeah, I just think it would have been great. So we'll have to pull that out of the back pocket in the future. So, but yes, I love the way what you did, particularly with that pitch, and you again, just the training, the saving the world to really see again Martha Kent becoming the last and newest for Sector 2814. We'll never forget it, Green Lantern.
Only to finally be trained by another Green Lantern.
Alan Scott?
Nope.
Okay.
John Stewart, who is played by Samuel Jackson. Because
well, the L stands for, yes.
I think that's been a few episodes, sir.
I think it has been. Plus, part of me now goes to when they did the revamp, they had Alan Scott lose an eye. When I have John Stewart also lose an eye, but have the green, you know, show up there,
right?
Have
a willpower patch on there.
Absolutely. I would just love, and again, I think they've probably done these, especially with when we had Blackest Night. But part of me goes, you know, the revamp again, you do it as an aside comic, not to be canon for the main universe. But then once Martha becomes the new Lantern, she then recruits other Lanterns. So, I can see her recruiting Mr. Terrific. I'm thinking the one that I think would be great Lantern. So Mr. Terrific, I would love to see.
He'd be a Blue Lantern. Yes.
Okay. All right.
And
remind
that'd be really
me, cool. Blue is based on
Hope.
Is it Hope? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. So yeah, we should really deep dive the rings again which of the rings would you rather have, the Lantern rings, the Ten Rings, or the Infinity Stones, which could be rings? So all the rings.
Ooh man,
all the rings,
or the One Ring.
I cannot wait for that. Speaking of things that we're counting down, there's Brave New World starting here in a couple weeks. There's the Lord of the Rings prequel. Well, it's a prequel to The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of the name of the one. Okay. She-Hulk's coming soon. There's just so many great things that are coming. So yes, fantastic way of tying in again the new Green Lantern, Martha Kent.
All right, so special thanks here, buddy. Where can we find you?
As always, you can find me on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. Give me a like, give me a follow, give me a friend request. I'd like to keep it light and interesting. And again, level up your awesomeness.
All right. So if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. One, go to Patreon at patreon.com/PVOTN Fandemic, or buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TheFandemic, PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. Brian, let's go ahead and close this up, sir. How do we do that?
All right. As always, thank you for joining us and leveling up your awesomeness. Please remember, no retreat, no surrender. And in the Nerdverse, we never say die.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on a different level. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great day. What? What?